Welcome to the Focus on Why podcast. I'm Amy Rowlandson and I ask my guests one simple question. Why? Focusing on the importance of why, I share with you the relatable, uplifting and inspiring conversations I have with people from all walks of life. This podcast will encourage you to focus on your why to enable and empower you to achieve the success you desire. Have a purpose, have a plan, focus on why. Before we start, I would like to draw your attention to what I can offer you as a master coach. I can help you to focus on your why with clarity, uniting your passion with your purpose with a plan to create the life you truly desire. Book a free 20-minute coaching call right now via calendly.com/AmyRowlandson/call, and we can take it from there. Today on Focus on Why, I am joined by Bernie Mack. Bernie, welcome.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. And a big shout out to the wonderful Eve Horn for introducing us.
Yes, I absolutely love Eve. She's wonderful.
So knowing that Eve recommended us, it might link into probably the industry that you're both working in. But you tell me, what is it you're focusing on right now?
That's right. Eve and I both work in the music business. And I'm focusing on empowering new musical artists to build the career that they want to build, but also remain really authentic within it. In an industry that can sometimes think they know what's best for you, or there's a lot of advice that's given, or sometimes we just as artists feel like we have to change ourselves in some way to fit in. You know, it might be an internal wrestle that we have with ourselves. And I'm here to say that authenticity is usually the best all around.
And this sounds like the voice of experience somehow.
It's that obvious. It is. And I want to caveat what I'm saying very much that I'm coming at this from a place of a deep love of the music business and the people within it. And it really is just my opinion, you know, from my firsthand experience and the artists that I work with now within my job. And what I felt is that as I progressed in the music business, people loved what I did. I started out really young and people loved what I did. And I was very, very authentic. I just naturally was. I wasn't anyone as a teenager, for example. I didn't feel peer pressure. I didn't feel like I had to conform. I was very attached to who I was as a person, and I really wanted to express that. So super authentic. And as I progressed in the music business, as I got older and I went into certain sides of it, I did feel at that time a pressure to change who I was. The advice that I was getting, that if I did this, that and the other, I would sell more, or I'd be more, I don't know, commercial or commercially viable. You know, my image was commented on. My weight at the time was commented on, even though I was quite slim, which is something thankfully that has changed or is changing in our business now. As I say, this is quite a long time ago. But what it did is that because I had this deep desire to make it in this business, it was so important for me to get out what I wanted to say and to share, you know, my music with people. It's just that I was so driven, is that I actually over time gradually started to take on board what these people were saying to me. And it did, you know, I felt like I was losing my authenticity. And that took me to a place that where I actually started to feel quite lost in who I was and why I was doing something. I got kind of swept up in the machine, is what I want to say. And it actually affected me personally. It affected my well-being and my mental health. And luckily, I was able to regain that and come back to a place of balance. And I'm actually really grateful for the experience because of what it's taught me and how I'm now able to pass that on to people that I work with.
And that experience, Bernie, is it something that is isolated for you?
I don't think so, no. And I think, you know, to be fair, this is not just a music industry thing. You know, I think a lot of us growing up feel like we, you know, there's adverts being thrown at us every 5 seconds about, you know, you're cool if you wear this, or, you know, you want to look like somebody who you admire, and that's completely natural. You know, it's not a music industry thing, but I think when you're on a stage, it's heightened, you know, because I'm coming at this very much from the perspective of a performer. You know, you are putting yourself out there for judgment, you know, and we know that, you know, that is part of the parcel. But it doesn't mean that we can always handle it. As much as we love to be on the stage, as much as we thrive on a stage and want to be there, there is this undercurrent that sometimes it can affect us, what people say when people are judging us. And, you know, it takes a lot of courage to get up and do that, and to share your music and to put yourself out there. So, no, I don't think it's isolated to me. But I do think it's heightened in the music business.
And music is a way of connecting with others. As you shared just then, it was something that you were able to articulate your authenticity and be able to share something that's from within externally that will resonate with the audience. And that whole perspective of performance, it's also a connected element as well, isn't there?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why we do it. There's nothing better than writing something that we feel. And it doesn't have to be anything too deep either, just whatever we feel. And then getting on the stage and hearing other people and seeing other people, their faces light up to what you've written, and hear them, you know, you're having that impact and sharing that moment with people is so incredibly special. And it's absolutely why we do what we do.
So what changed for you that when you said you felt the pressure to change, what actually shifted in terms of, was it your actual output as well as what you were, how you were dressing and how you were being presented?
It's quite a complex question because it goes a little bit deeper in me, which I'll explain later. But I think on a surface level, I'd moved to America and I was working around more in a sort of commercial environment. But I was also, you know, I wanted to move to America. I'd always wanted to be there. It was in New York that I was. And it was brilliant in a lot of ways. You know, the creativity in that city at that time was fantastic. It was everywhere and it was so inspiring. So my music was changing anyway. But what I felt was that I kind of, and what it was implied by some of the people I was working with, not all to be fair, but some, was that, you know, I wasn't cool enough. I couldn't go to certain events where there would be, which might elevate my career, where the people, you know, there might be some well-known people there, or some industry professionals there, unless I looked a certain way, unless I held myself a certain way. And it was that kind of, that unfortunately kind of hit a nerve because I was bullied at school. And it hit a nerve of that I'm not good enough as I am. So it really stems from how I felt when I was at school, when I was bullied. But that I'm not good enough as I am is what was driving my career in the first place, if that makes sense. So it really affected me for lots of different reasons. One, because, you know, I was good enough as I am and I didn't have to change who I am. But two, because I wanted so badly to be in that environment. I wanted so badly to make it. You know, that it was almost like my drive was stopping me from making some healthy decisions. And that then affected my well-being.
I understand. And what I'm hearing here also is that there was this pressure to conform, to become more commercially viable. And yet there seems to be an irony in that, because the music that we love and identify with the most is original and different. So it there's this weird concept going on there, I feel.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel You know, it wasn't everyone. I need to make that clear. It was just some of the people that I chose to work with. There are a lot of great people in the business who are supporting absolute authenticity. And I think especially now the business has changed a little bit.
It is that authenticity and this deep desire to make it. And I want to ask you, what did you think make it meant then? And what does make it mean now?
Oh, yeah, great question. Make it then in my young mind was I'm going to give the finger to everyone who always thought that I could never do it, basically, which were the people that bullied me at school, for example, because I was different. You know, that's why I was bullied. And I had my violin case and whatever else. I played violin at the time. And, you know, so it, in my young mind, that's what it was then. And it was very much about making it on a big scale, you know, the big stage. And I think now making it is living a life that is truly right for me and not feeling ever that need to conform and really investing in who I am as a person and importantly, accepting who I am as a person. You know, that actually it's been the greatest journey of my life to realize that I'm okay exactly as I am. And there was never any need for me to feel that I had to change in any way. It's extremely empowering.
Yeah. And the message that you would give that young teenager with her violin case that felt that she didn't fit in and she didn't belong, what would you say?
I would say rock on. Like, keep doing what you're doing, because you have got a talent and you love what you do and you're special, like everyone else is special. You know, it's just like we're all unique in our own wonderful ways, and we all have gifts that we bring to the world. And my gift is music.
I love that. So, with your gift of music, Bernie, you mentioned that you're empowering new musical artists to remain authentic. What is it that will happen as a result to the industry with you pioneering this way and with you championing these new musicians?
I think it's not only about authenticity, although it is linked. It's what I champion within the music business is well-being and mental health awareness. And I think it's really important that as a business, we have well-being running through it at every stage. You know, because at the end of the day, if we're not okay as perform, I'm speaking this very much from a performer's perspective. There's other perspectives for other people working behind and other parts of the industry, but this is what I know is on the stage. And I think if we're not okay as performers, you know, the business doesn't run, because the business runs from the music. You know, if you don't have the music, which is, you know, the product, then the business doesn't run. And so I think it's really important that we really take care of each other in this business, and that well-being is an absolute priority as a whole in the whole business.
And there have been examples of where major performers have said, I cannot put on this show. And it's been a case of, yes, you know, I've let down all of my audience and my followers, but if you really do respect me, you'll understand why I've had to cancel this show. And I think that's really bold. And yes, people's plans have been disrupted and they may have trips that they built around going to a particular concert or anything, but the compassionate element of that is so important to understand, that mental health comes first. Mental health and well-being of everybody is a priority.
It is. And I think it's really courageous of artists to put that boundary in and put themselves first, because they know that if they push themselves, they will not be able to continue on with their schedule. And, you know, they know that if they're, it's like the whole thing, you're on an aeroplane and they say to put on your mask first before the child's mask or your partner's mask. And it's very much that mentality of, if I'm not okay, I'm not going to be able to continue on with the show. I have to make sure I'm all right. But I think what I want to say here is that I want to make sure that in the business as a whole, that there are protocols for if someone, an artist or someone maybe behind the scenes, for example, they, you know, something is happening within their mental health, is there someone that they can go to within their team? Or maybe it's at the label, for example, and say, look, I am, you know, that my mental health is being affected. And will that be listened to and taken seriously straight off the bat? I think in some cases it is. And I think in some cases it's not still. So, you know, what is the protocol? Is there then someone that they can go and speak to? Will that be funded? It's, you know, what I would like to see in the business is more kind of obvious routes to get help. Yes, there's a lot of charities now that are out there to help us, and that's so wonderful. You know, specific mental health music charities, but I'm talking about, you know, people that are maybe signed or they're working with well-known managers, or, you know, people that are more kind of ingrained, they're less independent and more ingrained in the system. You know, what are the protocols in, you know, for getting help? I think that's something I would like to really see. Because, you know, I mean, I've heard that although, you know, major labels are making changes, you know, how do I word this? Are they changes because this is the way the world has gone, or are they changes because of how, you know, because they really care? You know, and I'm not making a judgment on that myself because I don't work in a major label. I never have. I've always been quite independent in my career. And, you know, at the moment, I'm not an artist myself. I'd still write music and I still session sing, but I work very much behind the scenes on an independent level. But it's just some things that I've heard from people that do work in major labels, you know, that they've said, you know, yes, you know, we know we have to tick these boxes, but it is just about ticking boxes rather than fully understanding how important it is and investing into that care.
And you spoke earlier about how you can get swept up in the machine, and it is very much become a depersonalized process in some respects.
I think so. I think there are great people within it. But I think at the end of the day, it's a business and businesses earn money. And so in the music business, you don't just have creatives, you have business people too. And it's a very different viewpoint, isn't it? You know, but as new musical artists, especially independent ones, we are running our own little business, you know? So as new musical artists, we do need to take on, okay, yes, you know, it's two sides of the brain. Yes, I'm a creative, but I'm also working, you know, I'm running a business. I need to earn money. You know, I'm focusing on branding and putting my brand out there. So not only am I writing the music, I'm having to focus on the branding, the marketing. I'm having to learn lots of different skills. I'm having to build my own team around me. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing because you're doing what you love, but it can also be, you know, a little bit of, pressure, or, you know, it's a lot of work, you know, having to learn all of these different skills, having to juggle those skills against, you know, maybe full-time work, or maybe you have a child. It's a great investment of self and an investment of your money. And so that's why within my business, I bring in sort of mental health practitioners, I bring in well-being coaches, and I do some mindset work myself, and obviously speak from firsthand experience, so to kind of give them the tools and techniques to actually handle whatever they are going through at that moment in time, and also to celebrate the wins that they have within their career.
Oh, absolutely. It's so key to see this happening from the offset, so that it doesn't have to be a case that you're regaining balance at a later point. It's built in from the start.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think what I would love to see is for us at the, you know, on the ground, you know, the, you know, starting off in our careers, putting in a lot of self-care, putting in our boundaries, you know, living true to ourselves and our career, and choosing carefully the people that we work with to make sure that they are supporting us as people, and they are supporting us in the kind of artist we want to be, but also kind of what I call the top protocols and awareness and, you know, trickling down the system, and hopefully we can kind of meet in the middle where we just have a more well-being focused, compassionate industry.
Yeah. And you said right at the beginning that you have a deep love for music.
I do.
And that you, it's been there since you were very young, and it's something that it feels to me, the way you're expressing it, is that there was never anything else. It's always been just music. Is that true?
Absolutely true. Yeah. And I was actually raised in a family of professional musicians. So I've grown up around music. I've grown up around rehearsals in the house. I've been backstage at concerts, and I've got to go on a couple of little tours, just, you know, a few little things here and there when I was younger. And so it's very much about music. And my parents didn't try and push me into music by any stretch. They very much supported whatever I wanted to do, and empowered me to do whatever I wanted to do. They're wonderful like that. But what I wanted to do was music. And if, although I sort of, you know, I chose to step back from being an artist, it was a natural progression. I just wanted to write the music. I didn't necessarily want to be out there in the same way that I had been. I still work entirely in music. You know, I vocal coach, and I run my membership, Bernie Matt's Becoming the Artist. And I do one-to-one sessions as well. And then I speak out on important topics like mental health awareness and well-being and self-care in the business.
I love it. So tell me about the purpose of the work that you're doing. You said earlier that you wanted to regain the balance and you're grateful to the experience. But what's the mission and the driver, the purpose for you?
The mission is really, I think I've kind of spoken about that. The driver is, it's just, I just realized as I went on my experience and I kind of did this full circle, you know, I kind of started out authentic. I then kind of felt like I changed, and I kind of lost over time gradually. I didn't even realize it was happening. I kind of lost who I was. Experiences can sometimes do that to you, can't it? But now I've kind of done the inner work. I've looked at my belief systems, and which I'm a big fan of doing. Like, I'm very big on the doing the inner work and the mindset, because a lot of things fall into place when you do that. You take the time, and it's quite a courageous thing to do, isn't it? To go inward, and to really look at what was driving it, and what, you know, was it that I really wanted that? Or was it just that I wanted to give the two fingers to the bullies? You know, but of course you don't really, you have this thought or this little fire in your belly when you're 13 or 14, and you don't realize it's still in you when you're in your 30s, for example, you know, sometimes, unless you do that work. So yes, it is. I love being on stage, and I'm still on stage. I still session sing and all of that. But the driver is really to say that what I learned is that being me is the biggest power that I have in this world. Personal power, and power as one person who is expressing themselves, is a really beautiful thing, and I think really needed. Does that answer your question?
It really does. Tell me about the belief systems that you found or encountered as you were doing this inner work.
So I think I just kind of didn't feel at that time like I was enough as I am. Again, I think when you're a young person, you are bullied for being exactly who you are. And, like, you know, I had to do my homework in the, not my homework, sorry, the work, like in the cupboard, you know, like, it was quite bad bullying at school. You know, it does make you question, as much as you know, I'm quite a determined person. And I'm very much like, if, you know, if you tell me not to shout, I'll shout louder. I'm that sort of personality. But it does, deep down, it hurts your feelings, and it does make you question at that vulnerable age whether you know, is there something wrong with you? And so what I found is that, am I good enough? You know, and that has been until very recently, well, not very recently, but recently, you know, the last sort of 6 or 7 years, something that's kind of been running throughout me, you know, that I've always had to battle. Am I good enough? Am I good enough to do this career? Am I really talented? It's that sort of questioning. And I think sometimes that questioning is really, really healthy, you know, because you don't want to think that you're it, you know, and there's no, because then you've got nowhere else to grow as a musician. But you also want to have enough self-belief and to know that you can go out there and do it and really fulfill what you want, what feels so good to you. So yeah, my belief systems are, that's kind of, you know, it's and you know, in that imposter syndrome thing, it's just all linked up in all of that, that sort of vibe, I want to say.
So knowing you had the gift of music and knowing that it was the voice of bullies who were calling out the talent, the gift that you had, in essence, they were sort of bullying you for being this talented, incredible musician.
Yeah.
What was the shift for you to realize that I am enough, I am talented, this is who I am, I love this?
I think I'll always be somebody who wants to get better at what they do. You know, I'm thinking, looking at my dad, who's 91 this year, who's still playing his clarinet and still wants to get better. And he's been a professional since he was 15. I'm not even kidding. And I think that is a really important part of growing in life, is that, to me, you never fully get there. You're always wanting to improve yourself in some way, but also accepting yourself for where you are in this moment. I feel like I've lost the point.
What I'm hearing, though, is the answer to am I enough is no, because growth wants us to always be better, to evolve us, to improve, to learn, to really push ourselves. So sometimes when people say, I am enough, it stops you. Yes, I understand the empowering element of the difference or the nuance of that am I enough question. But your dad there proving, and at the age he is of being 91 this year and still wanting to improve on his professional talent, it is admirable in a way. Because if you do feel that you've reached it, then you do stop growing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think his mindset has been really inspiring to me. But I think what's really, and my mum's as well, they're very similar. They're both musicians, and they're just wonderful in what they do and how they've supported me. But what I want to say there, really importantly, is it's about value. So I think what's changed is that I now value my differences, and I value who I am. And I accept that I'm a whole person that is not perfect. And I am going to get nervous and I am going to make mistakes. But I also know, I trust myself that I will come through whatever life throws at me, because I've come through quite a lot, you know? And so I think sometimes the music business and the entertainment business as a whole can sometimes make us question that value if we're not careful, because it is a business where you can be rejected, you know, and I think what I've learned is that my value is not attached to my music or my career or my success or what's in my bank account. My value is just being a human being who is alive. I don't need to prove myself in any way.
It's a powerful lesson to understand and appreciate, for sure. And that unattached element or detached element of not having to be associated to the outcome, of knowing that you are separate to that in so many ways. That, and again, you know, success is just a perception. You know, it's so subjective.
It is. Yeah. For example, yeah, what I would find success is what someone else wouldn't necessarily find success. Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you celebrate your wins, Bernie?
Give myself a big old pat on the back. I'm like, you go, girl. That sort of attitude. How do I celebrate them? Oh, God, I don't even know. I think I just appreciate, you know, I appreciate myself as a person and how far I've come. And I just remind myself constantly that it could have gone a different way, and it didn't. And when I have another win to add to that, I just talk nicely to myself, and I'm like, well done. You know, well done. Some people might go out and like book a spa day or something, but I don't do stuff like that. I just, yeah.
And that kind of self-talk, that inner dialogue that is championing yourself.
Yeah.
Is, I always, people talk about the inner critic, but I call mine my inner champion, because yes, it's important to challenge yourself and to question yourself, but also, as you say, it's equally important to champion and to understand how to celebrate. And it doesn't have to be huge, but it has to be personal to you, of what really matters.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the key, is that what works for one person won't work for someone else. And I think you just have to discover what it is that you need, you know, and yeah, like what will make you feel good. And I think being honest with ourselves as well about, is something I'm doing, is it really right for me? Especially in the music business, like, is this, because we know we're talking mainly about music here and that industry. And it's, you know, is this really the right person for me to work with? It might seem really good, but what does my gut say? You know, what feels good, what feels right for me, what feels aligned for me when it comes to choosing the team of people around me who are going to go with me on this journey? You know, I think trusting ourselves to make that good decision. And if you are having any kind of doubt or not able to hear your gut, the way some people say, well, I don't know what my gut's saying, then you do speak to maybe your friends or your family, because hopefully they'll be supporting you on this journey as well. Or you have people like me, coaches and mentors and memberships like what I have, to come and ask us and help you hear your own voice, you know?
And that is such a key thing, to understand your own voice, to be able to be heard, but to hear yourself, you know, to understand that you are listening to what really matters. And I really believe that the greatest gift you can give yourself is to invest in yourself, to fully understand your purpose, your inner driver that you are spending your life creating. And there's such a myth that I feel the need to dispel often, is that you don't find your purpose. You create it, you nurture it, you build it, and it happens over time. And everything that has happened in the past comes to form that greater purpose going forward. It's ever evolving. It's always something that, as you've identified, you're never going to complete this journey. You know, your father in his 90s is still understanding how he can develop and create and nurture and evolve his purpose and his skill, which is beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's about a sense of fulfillment. You know, I think what I see in my business and with some of the people I speak to is like, I really want to do this, but I don't know if I can. Am I too old to start a career in music? But I don't look the right way. Or, you know, I'm concerned about that people will comment too much on the way I look. I hear that so often. And it's sad because, you know, it's not, you know, you're a complete package. And I think it's sad when people really want to do something, but they don't feel they can, and they have that limiting belief. And I mean, it's sad that we have those beliefs in the first place, is what I mean. And I think that's something that I feel really passionate about, is helping people. Like, if this is the life you want, we're only here once. If this is the life that you want, absolutely grab it by the horns and go for it. And if I can support you in that, then I absolutely will. So I think it's about making sure, you know, I'm really passionate. I always have been, which is why I've been, I think, quite courageous as a person. Like, I moved to Canada on my own at 15, and I moved to America in my 30s, and I went to California before that, and whatever else, you know, I've been quite a bold person in my life. And I think it's because I've always had that mentality of, you're only here once. I want to live the best life that I can live. And I really want other people to feel the same way, that the world is their oyster. And if they're, they can choose to change their life in any just in a moment. There's so much power in the moment when it comes to choice. You can choose to do something different right now in this second. You can choose to turn your life around, and you can choose to go for whatever it is that you want. And yes, you'll have wobbles along the way, but just remember how it feels to be going for what you love and whatever you feel your purpose is. It's such a rewarding feeling to live authentically and true to yourself, whether that's in music or whether that's just elsewhere, in life.
And it's so key to understand that every choice or decision that you make determines the outcome, and that you have the power to change your life by changing your thoughts and changing your choices. So I'm with you 100%. Bernie, how would people who would like to remain authentic in the music industry come to you? What's the best way for them to reach out and have a chat?
Well, they could look me up on socials under Becoming the Artist. I think Instagram is Becoming_the_artist. They can email me at info@berniemacagency.com, or they can go to becomingtheartist.com.
Becoming the Artist. What a great name for a business. I love it. It's so Ron Seal in its way that it's so clear of what it is that you're helping people to do. So love that.
Yeah, that's right.
Bernie, thank you for sharing your purpose, your why you do your what you do, the incredible work that you are championing. And I absolutely hope that, no, I don't hope. I feel that there is a shift in this is going to be changing, that you are going to achieve those protocols of making sure that there is someone in the business that is there for your well-being and your health. And it's so key this is happening, that you are making this important message here. So thank you for sharing it. Have you got some final words for the audience, please, Bernie?
I do. If I can just quickly comment on that, I do need to say it's really important to say that it's not only me doing it. As a collective, we are shifting in this business because of people speaking out. And we are making an industry that is more diverse. And yeah, really. And I think, I do think there are some shifts when it comes to well-being and mental health awareness. And I'm just happy that I get to be a part of that change. So I think my final words would be, if you're a new musical artist, build a team of people around you that you trust. Like build in your support network right now at this stage, whether that's with a coach, whether that's with family and friends, whether that's with your bandmates, whether that's with the people that you're working with, to build a really good team, hopefully all of those things around you. And just remember that you can do it. That if this is something that you want, stay true to who you are, stay true to what you want to say and what you believe in, and go out there and make it happen.
How has this conversation had an impact on you? What value have you received from tuning in? What are your reflections with actions? Please take a moment to leave me an Apple Podcast or Spotify review sharing how Focus on Why has made a difference to you today. Remember, the conversation doesn't end here. To keep it going, simply connect with me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook or Twitter, or join the Focus on Why Facebook group. All the links are in the show notes. Have a purpose, have a plan, focus on why.